Welcome to Tech San Diego. I'm Kevin Carroll, the executive director, operating from the new temporary global headquarters of Tech San Diego in Rancho Pinosquitos, San Diego, California. Looking forward to this podcast. This is a new in a series of really trying to address immediately some of the issues surrounding the COVID-19. And our members and all companies are really struggling to navigate what's going on. This seems to be changing day by day and hour by hour and sometimes even minute by minute. So this is meant to be a practical guide. Make sure to check with your own legal counsel and other folks on acting on some of this. What we want to do is just kind of give you a framework. And so one of those issues that's really perplexing and companies are finding especially hard to navigate are HR issues, specifically leave issues, Family Leave Medical Act, who's going to get laid off, who's going to get furloughed, is there a difference? There's a whole host of issues that companies are really struggling with. So I brought in some experts. And so our first expert, those of you who listen to the T3 podcast will recognize the voice, and that's Aaron Chizdak from Marsh. Aaron, welcome.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing good. Like you getting ready for another great podcast and working remotely, which is getting used to now. How about you, Aaron?
Things are going better. I think week two of quarantine work time is a little better. I've got my workout routine down and I've definitely haven't stopped snacking since we last spoke. So that's still just the major problem I'm dealing with. What about you?
Good. I saw, you know, there's a lot of memes out on working from home. And one of the ones I saw was for those of you, you know, the 600-pound life. So do they call us when this is over or do we have to be proactive in calling them? I'm not sure what the communication is going to be if I have to call or they automatically call me.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Well, I think we should get right to the point and introduce our co-host, or I guess our third co-host for today, Kathy Pearson. So Kathy, I'm going to give you a quick introduction. So Kathy Pearson is the president of HR Now, Inc. She has 25 years of HR experience, and she's held executive HR and operational management positions. She's directed HR and operational functions for corporate and field operations in companies in nutraceuticals, technology, healthcare, and even in the manufacturing industry. So we wanted to get her in the studio, in her home studio, and give us some of her expertise. Kathy provides advice to hundreds of companies on things like employee relations, compensation, benefits, management develop, and strictly human resources best practice. So Kathy received her master's in science degree in organizational development and a bachelor's of science in marketing. She's certified as a senior professional of HR. That's a lot, Kathy. She's previously held leadership roles as a COO at Compound Solutions, VP of Human Resources at the Dodger Stadium. Hey, go Padres. And most recently, she was the VP of HR and Administration at Airgain, another San Diego company. So, Kathy, thanks for joining us. Before I let you kind of get your first word in here, I just want to make a caveat for everyone listening to the podcast. Because of all the new rules and regulations that have come to fruition in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, we want to make sure that you are aware we are recording this podcast on Friday, March 27th. With things changing so rapidly, it's important that this content may be out of date by the time you listen to this. So make sure you're checking your resources and at the Department of Labor and with your labor attorneys to make sure that you have the most current information. Kathy, welcome to the pod.
Thanks so much, Aaron and Kevin. I really appreciate the opportunity and look forward to providing today's updated information. And as Aaron said, it is changing by the minute as we speak.
Yes. So Kathy, we've got a lot to unpack here. So let's just start off with this. We are seeing a lot of businesses having to close their doors and lay off workers, but this is coming at employers so fast. A lot of companies are really not sure what to call this type of leave that their employees are taking. And we're hearing a lot of people throw the word furlough around. Now, I know you know that furlough and layoff is very different. So can you give us a high-level overview of the differences between what a furlough and a layoff really looks like?
I sure can, Aaron. You know, it's interesting because there are different components to different aspects. But the most important thing to understand is A furlough is really a temporary timestamp that says to an employer that we believe we're going to get through this in a short window of time, but we do need to cut our expenses at this point. Therefore, we're going to furlough our employees or some of our employees for a week, 2 weeks, maybe 30 days. Typically, this is considered a very temporary aspect, whereas the employer will want to bring them back the minute we're able to get back to business as normal. With that said, there's also the layoffs. And the layoff can be more permanent, although several companies, especially in union environments, will call a temporary layoff. And the temporary layoff allows employers the same component. They are letting go a certain number of employees from their company for a period of time. Both of these opportunities allow the employees to collect unemployment no matter what state that they're located in. So with that said, if I'm furloughing several employees from a department, that employee can go and file unemployment claims. There is also a secondary component to furloughing. Furloughing can also result in reduction of hours. And so, for example, if an employer still needs certain teams, certain employees on their teams, they can furlough them 1, 2, possibly 3 days per week. So therefore, the employee would only be working, let's say, 2 days a week and furloughed 3 days a week. This can help employers balance out their expenses during a time and still allow for their business to move forward. The advantage of this for employers, it also allows the employee to collect unemployment for those furloughed days. So if I, for example, if I'm an employee normally working 40 hours per week and my employer says I'm going to furlough you 3 days a week, I still get paid 2 days from my employer and I can go online and collect unemployment for those other 3 days. Does that make sense, Erin?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Kathy. I guess maybe my more poignant question would be, you know, for those employers that are throwing away around the word furlough, doesn't it seem like a layoff may be more appropriate than a furlough in most case situations if the employees aren't considered coming back at a specific date? We don't really know how long this is going to last, right? So would you, in your experience, say a layoff may be more appropriate?
You know, that's the million-dollar question today.
I'm getting a lot of questions from employees and their HR directors specifically about their employee benefits packages in these types of situations. So I want to make sure that I address that as well. So one of the things that's coming up is a lot of companies are trying to be as generous as they can regarding their employee benefits packages. And, you know, if they're in a layoff situation or in a furlough situation, it's a little up in the air what they do with their benefits programs for their employees. So let's address that really quick. So some of the carriers that your employers may be working with, like United Healthcare or Anthem Blue Cross or Blue Shield, some of these carriers are waiving their actively at work requirement, which basically says that the employee has to work at least 30 hours a week or 20 hours a week to be eligible for benefits. So it's really important in those situations, if you are an employer listening to this podcast, and you're thinking about continuing benefits for employees while on a furlough or while on a layoff status, that you check with your benefits professional, your broker, and the carrier to make sure that the carrier will allow you to waive that hourly requirement for your employees. And the rules and lengths of time that the carrier will allow these things kind of vary from carrier to carrier. Now, the easiest kind of situation would be a layoff, right? So like Kathy mentioned, you lay off the employees, they go get unemployment. In a layoff, most of the employers that I'm seeing in this situation, they're just terming benefits at the end of the month, like they traditionally would. The employee is then offered to continue their coverage on either federal COBRA or state COBRA. So if you're less than 20 employees, you're eligible for Cal COBRA in California and federal COBRA if you're more. And this actually triggers a qualified event, which is kind of a new kind of arena for these employees. So because they're being laid off, they are triggered a qualified event where it's going to give them the opportunity to enroll in COBRA or even go to the California Exchange. So as most of you know, Covered California offers benefits packages to employees that are either not employed or if their employer doesn't offer insurance. Now, the Covered California open enrollment period traditionally ends, you know, in Q4 for coverage starting in January. But with this severance of employment and this layoff or furlough situation, it's actually giving your employees a 30-day window to enroll in Covered California benefits. And if they're no longer working and they're not receiving an income, like a general paycheck, like they typically would be, they could be eligible for government subsidies that can help pay for a portion of Covered California costs. So the employees at that point have two options. Go to COBRA, and COBRA, they would pay 100% of the premiums. So that actually could be quite expensive for someone that isn't making full-time wages. So in my opinion, Covered California might actually be a really great option for some employees. To touch on Covered California a little bit more, Covered California is also having what we call a special enrollment period through June 30th right now. So if you don't have insurance, you're not covered by an employer, and you're just really nervous that you're going to get sick and you're not going to have any coverage at all, and you maybe missed the open enrollment period for Covered California for the end of 2019-2020, you can still go to Covered California's website and enroll in coverage through June 30th. And based on your income status, you may be subsidy eligible. So for anyone listening to this that is in limbo, maybe doesn't have insurance, or maybe your company doesn't offer you insurance, you still have the ability to get covered. Now, another kind of thing that's coming up that I want to make sure I address is a lot of employers are struggling to understand how they can maybe help the employees pay for COBRA or for other coverage while on a layoff or a furlough status. And that's a really sticky subject. And we could probably speak for another hour, maybe, Kathy, on that subject alone. So I'm going to leave my expertise at that and say, if you're in a situation as an employer where you're looking to maybe change contribution strategies or tweak some of your policies around, you really need to check with your carrier and your benefits broker professional before you make any changes, because there's a lot of implications that kind of start to waterfall as those changes are made. And I will make a caveat. I am not an ERISA attorney. I am just a benefits broker. So then there's a whole nother layer of labor law and ERISA law that you need to be aware of. So with that, Kathy, let's shift gears. We've talked about furloughs, layoffs, and what to do with their benefits package. But let's tackle the two new emergency paid leave laws that are outlined in FCRA, the Family First Coronavirus Relief Act that was recently passed. So, Kathy, I'm going to flip it back to you. Can you give me some basic bullet points about the emergency paid sick leave law that was passed?
I sure can, Erin. And I will tell you, as recently as this morning, it updated again. So to Erin's point in the beginning of this podcast, it is changing as we speak. But right now, and as recently as about 10 minutes ago, President Trump signed in the $2.2 trillion benefit package. And in that is this new paid sick leave. And it's important. Any employer that has 500 or less employees is required to follow this new paid sick leave. This is also important to know. It is over and above any other sick leave you may offer to your employees. Therefore, those of us in San Diego know that we currently have a mandated 5 days per year of sick pay that can be used, carried over year over year. This new paid sick leave is over and above the San Diego mandate, for example. This allows the employees to have 80 hours of paid sick leave. This paid sick leave can be used for things such as a federal, state, or local quarantine or isolation order. As so many of us know, in California right now, we are quarantined. essentially only are we allowed to go out of our homes, basically. So this sick leave policy would apply to that. The second category is if the employee has been advised by a healthcare provider to self-quarantine due to concerns related to COVID-19, this also applies. Thirdly, the employee is experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 and is seeking medical diagnosis. The opportunity that we have as employers is that even if an employee goes to their doctor, urgent care, emergency room, there's an extended waiting period to get the test as well as getting the results of the test. And so therefore, this paid sick leave covers all of this time frame. With this said, you must pay the employees their regular pay for these 80 hours of paid sick leave. Now, I would encourage you to speak to your payroll provider, because most of the payroll providers are putting together a special code in the payroll systems so that you can record these hours accordingly. And although we'll get into this a little bit later, to allow you to be able to prepare those numbers at the end of the year or at the end of the quarters for tax credits.
So let me get this straight, Kathy. So let's say you're a manufacturing company here or a different kind of company, and you're shutting down, right? So automatically, 2 weeks pay.
Well, it's a great question, Kevin. If we are closing down because we are quarantined and not an essential business, the answer to that is yes.
So I think you mentioned this and alluded to it. So now you're going to jump into the FMLA, right? And how that contributes. And, you know, one of the issues is if we're on a quarantine and schools are out, for example, and your kids are at home, is that going to count towards, if you have to take care of your kids, is that going to count towards FMLA? And do you have to be accountable to that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Kevin. And so this then segues into the second portion of the new Families First Coronavirus Act, is the extended FMLA claims. And even for those employers who currently do not qualify for FMLA are now required to follow this extended FMLA. So any employer under 500 employees must adhere to the new extended FMLA requirements. So what it indicates is the first 2 weeks are unpaid.
But Kathy, that 2 week period is basically probably going to be covered by the emergency paid sick leave law, right? So if I imagine I'm eligible for the emergency FMLA leave, those first 2 weeks will be covered by the sick leave law, more than likely.
That is correct. That is correct. Or they can also elect to take, so let's say they're not quarantined or they're not having indications of the COVID-19 disease. The employee can elect to take their PTO or vacation time for that. However, the employer cannot mandate the employee to do that.
And what if, Kathy, this is kind of a one-off, but what if the employee doesn't have enough PTO balance to last them for a certain amount of time? What happens then? Does the employer, if there's no work, is this sick leave or how do I get paid?
So it's a great question. So to continue on this, the answer to your question is twofold. If the person has to go on the extended FMLA, the new extended FMLA rules tell us we must pay as an employer our employees for those 10 additional weeks a percentage. And so it's very specific about how it gets paid. But at the end of the day, if the three indications that I provided you apply, meaning you're quarantined, you're sick because of COVID-19, and or you're being tested for COVID-19, the employer must pay 2/3 of their regular pay up to $511 per day. So there is a cap on it for the employer, but there is a requirement to pay that 2/3 or $511 per day for those 10 weeks.
Got you. And then Kathy, going back a little bit to the sick leave law, not to bounce around too much, but it's my understanding that if I'm caring for a sick individual in my home, like a spouse or a child, I can get 2 weeks pay because I have to take off work to care for that child or that spouse that's sick. If I then get infected and I get sick, am I allowed to stack my sick pay at 2 weeks from caring for a family member and then 2 weeks caring for myself that's sick? Like, am I allowed to stack those together?
It's a great question, Erin. And I think I get it about 5 times a day right now. The simple answer is no, you do not. However, there are 3 other caveats in this extended act that talk about just that. Number one, the employee is caring for an individual who is subject to either being quarantined or COVID-19. 2, the employee is caring for his or her child if the school or place of care of the child has been closed. Or 3, the employee is experiencing any other substantially similar conditions specified by the Secretary of State. So what this means is, on this extended FMLA, week 3 through 12, if you are under one of those 3 caveats I just mentioned, they do lower the employer responsibility to $200 a day. So it's important to understand as an employer what your employee is going out for in order to know what you're responsible to compensate them. This is also important to say, if you are an employer that currently is required to provide FMLA to your employees, this is not an additional 12 weeks. So if your employee has already taken 3 weeks of FMLA coverage, their maximum amount of time is 9 additional weeks. So it's very important to understand that math. However, those employees that haven't taken any FMLA will be eligible for the full 12 weeks.
So Kathy, if I'm out on an FMLA qualified leave now, like let's say I'm on maternity leave and I'm set to come back to work April 1st and there's no work, how does that work for me?
That's the in-stage discussion right now. So let's assume your example is I've taken advantage of my full FMLA to date, right? So, and I'm ready to come back to work, but my employer has closed or we're quarantined and I'm not an essential worker. You are not eligible for that extended 12 weeks. However, you are eligible for the 2 weeks of paid sick leave.
Got it. God, Kathy, I never envy my HR associates when I'm talking about leave laws. I literally love to hate leave laws. Kevin, does this all making sense to you, or do you have any questions?
You know, it is, and I'm just thinking of the small technology company really trying to have to navigate. You almost need the algebra to navigate these different type of rules. And as we know, you know, this pandemic is hitting everyone, and that means it's hitting the revenue line. And as we talk about these leave issues for listeners, just understand we have a great amount of empathy for our workforce. In fact, when the companies call me, that's the first thing they talk about is their workforce and how they're going to try to take care of them. But you have to be able to pay for all this. So I don't know who's going to pay for all this, Kathy. Is it going to be through? Are there going to be tax credits? Are there going to be, you know, this could really impact, especially on the smaller technology companies who may not have revenue coming in. This is a deal killer here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Kevin. And I will say that the initial Families First Coronavirus Act was focused on taking care of people, right? That was their number one priority. Now they have started to look at the tax credits, and they are definitely applying those. Just as recently as this morning, they came out with a new regulation that they're going to be able to start at a quarter basis. So as quickly as Q2 of 2020, an employer is going to be able to take advantage of the tax credit. Now, what does that mean? It gets very sticky on the details, and we'd certainly be willing to sit down and talk to any of your clients specifically about that. But they have passed the regulation that tax credits will apply, and the employer will not have to wait till the end of the year. They will be able to take them quarterly beginning with Q2 of 2020.
Well, we've covered a lot of material, and we could probably go on for hours, but I know people listening to these type of podcasts have a limited amount of time and are running to companies. And so we're going to continue to do these type of podcasts. For Kathy or Aaron, are there any other really pressing HR issues that's really popping up that we should address?
Yeah, you know what, Kevin? I have one more that I'm always like, you know, I'm not really sure how to answer. So I want to just pick Kathy's brain on this. For those groups and those companies that are still operating, can you give us the quick do's and don'ts if somebody comes in and says they're sick and they want to go home, or I'm terrified to come to work because I'm afraid I'm going to get sick? What can I and can I not do as an employer?
It's a great question. And for those essential employers, this is a real issue. The most important thing to do is make sure your employees feel comfortable. If your employee is not comfortable being at the office, they would qualify for this paid sick leave. Is there a possibility for them to work remotely? I mean, with our technology today, many of us are able to work. It may not be ideal and it may not be perfect, but many of us have the opportunity to work remotely and at least do a portion of our job. So I encourage employers to really consider that. Don't go spend thousands and thousands of dollars for new laptops for everyone. That's not what we're saying. But try to accommodate if there's a possibility, just to relieve that fear from your employees. And also do some of the simple things. Provide the hand sanitizer, provide the ability to have social distancing so people don't have to be in a conference room with 20 people when they could maybe not do it that way, or they could use a go-to meeting platform, for example, instead. You know, recognize some of those important factors and help them through that.
What specifically about like asking for proof of like a medical note? So am I allowed to say, hey, I need you to provide proof that you're sick with COVID-19? Like what do I have to do there?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the answer, the simple answer is no. However, just yesterday, they edited the act to allow employers to request a note if and when an employee is returning. So although you can't ask them when they go out, you can ask them before they return to work that they are clear to come to work and not to jeopardize any of the current employees.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, as the benefits guru on the podcast, I would recommend that you use your telemedicine benefits for that and you don't walk yourself, your healthy self back into a urgent care or emergency room. So use your telemedicine benefits. And you know what, Kathy, it sounds like there's a lot to unpack here. And it just goes to show how valuable having you as a resource for Tech San Diego members and for the San Diego community is helping us navigate all of this change. So I want to thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us and the audience, Kathy. I know we just scratched the surface here. How can people get in touch with you if they have further questions and want to use your services?
Well, thank you, Erin. I've very much enjoyed this. And I just want to share one quick story as I was watching Good Morning America that made me smile this morning. Is the CEO of Starbucks is in China, and they have opened 95% of their stores back to business, good traffic flow within, you know, after 90 days. So I think it gives us all indication with the minimal data that we've had is that if we can look at a 90-day window to get through this, Starbucks has, and it's made a very positive impact on the world today. I would very much appreciate if any of you have any questions, if you need policies, if you need information, I am happy to reach out to you. The best way to reach me is K Pearson, P-E-A-R-S-O-N, at hrnowconsulting.com. Or you're welcome to text or call me at 619-520-8651. Thank you again and be safe.
Fantastic. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Aaron. And we will see you at the next podcast. This is Kevin Carroll, Tech San Diego, signing off. We'll see you next time.
Tech San Diego Spotlight is a Tech San Diego production, sponsored by Marsh & McLennan Agency and edited by Andrew Sims of Hypable Impact. Major thanks to Kathy Pearson of HR Now Consulting for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and share.